So I wanted to start a topic. I don't know how long this series will last for. We'll see what kind of attendance we get over the next few weeks as the summer approaches. But something that's been on my mind, and I imagine many of yours as well, is some of the dinim related to Mashiach, Hilchos Mashiach. Those who didn't see this past week, Shavuos, in Mishpacha magazine, Rav Lapiansky had a very, very nice article about the disappointment of Mashiach not coming. You know, 3 months ago, we all thought Mashiach was coming, was the end of the world. You know, the virus wasn't stopping, people were losing jobs, people were losing lives, and everything was falling apart, and it was, and perhaps still is, but he was, keeping us in check that this has gone on for many, many years, and things have been much far worse than what we're experiencing right now on every level, but it was a very, very nice explanation of what exactly are we yearning for, what we're looking for Mashiach, what does that mean? So he elaborated, but just one mice he said from Rav Soloveitchik, was that to describe what it means to have a Kadosh Baruch Hu, have a Mashiach, is imagine a father and son who are in a big fight. And they're sitting at a table in the house, just a couple feet away. So they're a couple feet away, their bodies are 2 feet away, but their hearts are like 1,000 miles away. So yes, we're doing all the mitzvahs and we're keeping Torah, but the feeling of Mashiach being here, the emotional attachment, that's what's lacking so much. So it's hard for us to really put our finger on what Mashiach is going to add, but that yearning of, we have a full simcha, but the full simcha there with the father not being there, that's really what Mashiach is. So take a look there if you have a chance. It's online as well. I wanted to really describe and go through some of the lachas of what's going to be when Mashiach comes. So the first question that people always ask, will we live forever? My kids always ask, not always, but does that mean, when people come back to life, are they coming back the same age they were when they died? Are they going to come back younger? Will death ever happen? So these are the types of questions maybe I'll go through today. And we'll start off in the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Samech Ches Amun Aleph. I'm going to put the share screen on just for a second to see this Gemara inside. The Gemara itself seems to address this question and said as follows. That Ula, Rami, he raised the question of two different Pesachim. Ksiv, one pasuk says, "Bilah maves lanetzach," that maves will be absorbed, will be swallowed eternally, meaning death will no longer exist. Uksiv, then it says in another pasuk, however, a pasuk also in Yeshaya, "Ki hanar ben mea shana yamus," a child, an adult, a person when he reaches the age of 100 years old, yamus, he will die. So, will there be death? Is death going to exist in the times of Mashiach, or will not exist in the times of Mashiach? And the Gemara answers, Lokashia, Kan be Yisrael, Kan bov de kochavim. When it comes to the Yidden, so the Yidden are going to live forever. For them, Bila Hamavis Lanetzach, death will be absorbed, it will no longer exist for the Jews. But with respect to the Goyim, so the Goyim are going to still experience death. Perhaps Arichas Yomim, they have a longer life, Me'ashanim will be the average age, but death will still apply to the Ov de kochavim, says the Gemara. So then the Gemara asks an interesting question. What are the Goyim going to be doing with it? What do we need them for? Why are they going to be living at all during the times of Mashiach? And so the Gemara says, Dichseva, it says in another pasuk in Yeshaya, V'omdu zorim v'ro tonchem. They're going to be strangers, a reference to the Goyim. They're going to be watching your sheep. U'bnei nechar, the Goyim will ikarechem v'kormechem. They're going to be the farmers and watching your fields. They're going to be working your vineyards. They're going to be working. They're going to be our employees while we're sitting back and learning and serving Hashem. They're going to be there to serve us. That's what the Gemara says. Now this is a very, very interesting Gemara. And this comes up also as well. I'm trying to end the stop share for a second. It comes up also a fascinating Teferis Yisrael in the Mishnayos. There's a Teferis Yisrael in the beginning of Maseches Midos. He describes the famous machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. How Bayit Shlishi, how the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. What's it going to take? So Rashi says the Bayit Shlishi is going to come down from Shemayim. It's going to just be planted in the Makom HaMikdash. And the Rambam says that we're going to build the Beis HaMikdash on our own. So the Tiferes Yisrael is explaining, why do we need Maseches Midos? Maseches Midos describes the different dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash and the menorah and the shulchan and everything. So for the Rambam, we need to know how to build it. But according to Rashi, we don't need to know how to build it. It's coming to come down from Shammai. So in the end of the day, while describing how the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt, he says that L'Asir Lavo, even for the Rambam who says it's going to be built by man, it won't be built by me and you. It's not going to be built by B'nai Yisrael. Rather, he says, it's the Goyim that are going to be building it. He says, Sheyavnu Nachrim, based on the pasuk that the Gemara in Pesachim quoted, V'amdu Zarim V'rod Tzonchem V'gomer, that the Goyim are going to come and raid and take care of your sheep, they're going to take care of your fields, and they're even going to build the base of Migdash for us. So that's the function of the Goyim. But it's clear from the Gemara that death will no longer exist. Now the Aruch HaNer asks an incredible question. He says, the Gemara Makos tells us that L'Asin Lav, all the times of Mashiach, we're going to have the Shlosh Ari Miklat. We're going to have the Ari Miklat, they're going to be on the side in the Eivar Yarden and three in the Eretz Yisrael. And then they're going to add on three more cities for the times of Mashiach. Asks the Aruch HaNer, why do we need Ari Miklat? There's not going to be death anymore. Bilam Mavis Lanetzach. And furthermore, he says, the Gemara tells us that the Yetzer Hara is going to be shechted. No one's going to have a taiva to kill. So just get rid of all the Ari Miklat. So Aruch HaNer says that when the Gemara tells us that the Mavis will no longer exist, it only means Shelo Yehe Misa Tivi. There's not going to be natural death. Ayyidei Malach HaMavis. But if a person decides to kill someone else, Aval Kishi Yirtzach HaAdam Vada Yamas. Death will exist if a person falls off a roof, a person gets burnt, whatever the way a person could die, accidents can happen still. The Malach HaMavis won't come. He's not going to get someone sick and have someone die, but naturally, mistakes, accidents, that will still happen. So there will be death in a limited fashion. But it won't be the Malach HaMavis. It won't be the Yetzer Hara. It's going to be from accidents. Now the Keren Ora says something very similar. The Keren Ora actually says something really, really interesting. He's based in a Shilta Giburim. He says, there's still going to be actually a Yetzer Hara. But the Yetzer Hara won't be as strong. It won't be as potent. The magnitude will be much less than it is now. But it will still exist. So he says, by B'nai Yisrael, the Yetar will be very, very small. So very little sin. It will be very uncommon for death to happen from Malach HaMavis. But there will still be a Malach HaMavis. By the Goyim, he says, where the Kedusha isn't so great, they're going to have more sins and they're going to still die. But coming out from the Keren Ora, there's going to still be Yetzer Hara. There's still going to be murder. Not only accidents, but even murder will exist. So how is that understood? So we don't know how Moshe Mashiach will be, but I came across a story last week. And the story, it was traced back to the Chassam Sofer, that he shared the story with his children and his grandchildren. And it's a story that took place in the times of the Marsha. And there was a death of a certain Rasha in the city of the Marsha. And they were busy preparing the burial, and the Tahara was done. Right before they closed up the kever, a guy from the Chever Kadisha slapped the Rasha across the face. The dead guy, he slapped him across the face, this Rasha. Deserved a little slap in the face. So they finished the kavura. And that evening, that individual from the Chever Kadisha who had slapped the Rasha had a dream, had a vision. It was the Nifter appeared to him and was summoning him to the Beis Din Shomal. So the guy in the Chever Kadisha is like, How do you get to Beis Din Shomal? I ignored it. The next night again, the Nifter appears to him in the dream and he's toveah him to Beis Din Shomal. Happened a few nights in a row, he got a little nervous. And the individual's father, the member from the Chevra Kadisha's father, told the Marsha what was going on. Marsha said, send your son to me. That guy who had the dream, send him to my house to sleep tonight. So he came to the house to sleep by the Marsha. The Marsha says, when you see this dream, scream. When the guy comes, you scream to me and I'll come. So he goes to sleep in the Marsha's house and he sees that vision. He's being summoned to the Beis Din Shomal. He begins to yell, Rabbi, Rabbi, Rabbi. Marsha rushes to the room and says, okay, Beis Din will take place here in my house. So they have a Beis Din, however that works. And he says to the Rasha, the Nifter, why are you being Toveah him? Why are you summoning him to Beis Din Shomal? So he says, well, this is what he did to me. I was dead. I was about to be buried. And he slaps me across the face. Marsha says, well, you deserved it. Listen, you were a big Rasha. You deserve to be slapped across the face. So he says to the Marsha, well, I need to tell you something. When I got to Beis Din Shamala, they rolled out the red carpet for me. There's a big Simcha Gedola here. They were celebrating my life. Why? They explained to me because I was once walking by an area where they were throwing Yidden into the young Yidden into the river. And there's one Jew that was struggling. I was able to save him. And that young boy grew up to be an incredible Talmid Chacham, a Rosh Yeshiva, a Marbitz Torah. And they attributed all that to me. That gave me an incredible zechus to overwhelm all my rishis, all my averus. And so they celebrated my coming to the Beis Din Shamal, to the Shemayim. So the Marsha says, well, I see then that the Yetzer Hara still exists in Olam Haba, in Shemayim. Because you saved one Yid, but now you're trying to ruin another guy's life. Don't succumb to the Yetzer Hara, even in Shemayim, and let him go. And he left, and the Beis Din was over. So I don't know what to make of this story. It's, again, traces back from the Chassam Sofer, so we trust it happened and it has meaning to it. But even when the Gemara tells us that there will be no Yetzer Hara in the future, there is some element of Yetzer Hara. There's some element of Yetzer Hara up in Shemayim. We don't know how these things work. But what's clear is that, to some extent, there's going to be less death, if not any death, in the times of Mashiach. Some say there'll be no death. Some say there'll be accidental death. And some even say that there's going to be death by the Malach HaMavis, by Averas, however that will work. And the truth is, this is really, all these three shitas appear in a Medrash. If you look inside number 5, I'll show you this in the Medrash. The Medrash says as follows. Here you go, number 5. Amar Rabbi Chanina. Eid misa la'asilavo ela b'vnei noach b'var. First opinion is Rabbi Chanina, that in the future, in the time of the Mashiach, there will only be death for the non-Jews. Comes along with Bishub Levi, and he says, no, lo be yisrov, lo be umos. There will be no death, not for the Jews, and not for the non-Jews. Everyone's going to live forever, eternally. Umocha Hashem Elokim Dima, me'al kopanim, he says. Hashem will wipe out all tears from the face of this earth. That includes even the umos olam. And the third opinion is, the next part of this medrash, ma'ovid Rabbi Chanina. What does Rabbi Chanina, who says that only the non-Jews will die, what does he do with the pasuk me'al kopanim? That Hashem is going to be mocha Hashem Elokim dima mikamim kopanim. That's only the Yisrael. He qualifies the pasuk. Ah, but what about the pasuk ki anar ben me'ashanim yomos, that a child at the age of 100 will die? Dom Messiah Rabbi Chanina. That supports Rabbi Chanina that a non-Jew will die. So ma'over le Rabbi Shua. What does Rabbi Shua do? Rabbi Shua says everyone's going to live forever. How does he interpret the pasuk of Nar ben Me'ashanim Yomus? Even non-Jews will live forever. Roy lechlal onashim. It sounds like there's going to be sin and punishment even in the times of Mashiach. So I don't know what to make of all this. But certainly there's going to be less death, if not no death, in the times of Mashiach. Let's take it now, Shitas Rambam. How does Rambam understand what goes on? You know, in a couple hours, I'm actually having a Q&A. Rabbi Liebowitz and I are doing a Q&A with one of these groups of some sort. So they sent us the questions last night. So I just looked at them very briefly. We're going to go through which ones we want to answer later on. But one of the questions that was asked was a classic question on these Q&As. If you had to choose, if you were on a deserted island all by yourself, and you had a choice of just one sefer to bring, which sefer would you bring? I've been thinking about this a lot, you know, now that, like, there's no shul, really. My wife and I want to just go away somewhere quiet, but I can't leave without all my svarim. I don't know how to pick just one. I don't know how to define one. It's like, you know, the Gemara, is that all one, or it's only one volume of the Gemara? So, whatever the details are, what I would say would be the Rambam. If I could take the Rambam, I would take the one sefer would be the Rambam. And that's because, you know, the Rambam, when I'm trying to think of learning, I'm always trying to, like, check 5 boxes. Bekiyas, Ian, Halacha Lamaisa, Inspiration, and then what we call Machshava, Chassidus, and Panimius. So the Rambam checks 3 of the boxes. He's Bekiyas. There's so much Ian to learn from the Rambam, the briskers, and then Halacha Lamaisa. That's how I would take the Rambam. You cover ground, everything's clear and laid out for you. So the Rambam is the only one who really addresses the times of Mashiach. No one else talks about, you know, Kudshim and Taros like the Rambam does. So we should look with the Rambam what he holds about what's going to be in the times of Mashiach. So there's a Gemara that tells us several places, those who learned Daf Yomi saw this recently, that there's this sheet of Shmuel. And Shmuel says that Ein Bein Olam Hazeh, the Mos HaMashiach, El Shibud Galios Bilvad, or Shibud Malchios Bilvad, that the only difference between now that we're living in this current state of 2020 and the times of Mashiach, the only difference will be that we're going to have a Jewish government. That's it. Everything else will be the same. They'll be sinning, they'll be fighting, they'll be murder, they'll be stealing, maybe less. But Shibud Malchus Bivav will be the only difference. Just who's in control, who's in charge of the government. That's the only difference that will exist in the times of Mashiach. I always think about, the values, the advantages, the pros and cons of technology. There's so many cons, and so many pros. The cons we all know, and the pros we're living right now. The ability to give shir through Zoom are one of the many, many pros that exist. So there always, in my mind, there always two options how Mashiach could come. One could be that, as I just stated, that everything's going to be the same. We're going to be using Zoom and video cameras and in-person shir. The other one I always think about is everything's going to be reset. We're going to lose all the ability of technology and go back to the way it was in the times of, Moshe Rabbeinu. A very simple life and no air conditioning, no heating. But the Rambam clearly paskins that it's going to be, like Shmuel says, no difference between now and the time of Mashiach and the Shibud Malchus Bavad. And I'll read you the language of the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim. Rambam writes, Al yale al halev, a person should not think for a moment. Shebimos HaMashiach yivata davar, miminhago shel olam, things will stop. No more cars, no more planes, not true. It's all going to exist. Or a person's going to think there's going to be shachidish b'mayis abreish, something new is going to happen. There's going to be, who knows, a new continent and islands created. And no. Olam kiminhago noeg. Science, nature, human nature will all be the same. So that's how we paskin, seemingly. That's the Rambam. So now for the Rambam, what's going to be with death? Will death continue as well? The Pashup Shad is death will continue. And there's a raya that the Rambam says death will continue. Because the Rambam writes as well that Mashiach is going to be the king. And he says Mashiach and it's going to be Morish. He's going to give the Yerusha of the Malchus to his children. What Yerusha? Mashiach's going to die? So the answer is yes. The Minchas Chinuch says it's clear from the Rambam that Mashiach will die at some point. There's a Mashiach ben Yosef, there's a Mashiach ben David. But even Mashiach ben David, according to the Rambam, is going to die, and his children are going to take over. So death will exist for the Rambam, says the Minchas Chinuch. Everything is going to be kim minhago nohe. So if death will exist in the times of Mashiach, and the only difference is Shibud Malchus Bilvad for the Rambam. How does the Rambam understand the Pasuk? How does he understand the Gemara and Psachim that Bila HaMavis LaNetzach, that death will be absorbed, will be no longer in existence? So there is a Yad Ramah. I'll let you guys look inside the Yad Ramah together. Yad Ramah writes, if you look at number 9. The Yad Ramah writes, the Gemara in Sanhedrin. If you read just the bold, he says, Ulu Shmuel, Da'amar Ein Bein Ol Mazel Imos Mashiach, El Shibud Malchus Bilvad. How does he answer the Pasuk of Bila Mez LaNetzach? He says, Metaritach, he answers as follows. Edi V'Edi, both of them are B'Yisrael. Meaning the Nar who lives 100 years and the one who lives eternally are both by Yid, V'Lo Kasha. Kan B'Imos Mashiach, Kan the Olam Haba. So this is a tricky concept, Olam Haba and Mashiach, and Imos Mashiach. But in essence, the most popular understanding is that Imos Mashiach is in this world, in earth. Physical, spiritual. Olam Haba is only where there's a Neshama. So when a Neshama goes to Olam Haba, that's when the Pasuk says, Bila Mavis LaNetzach. It's going to no longer exist death. But in Imos Mashiach, on earth, then there will be death. And a longer, later age, and Arichas Yamim, 100 years, whatever the age might be. And that's the understanding of the Rambam. It's not a stira. It's just a different answer to the Gemara. The Pasuk means, Bila Mavis Lanetech is Olam Haba. And the Pasuk of Ki Anar Ben Me'ashana Yamus is referring to Olam Hazeh. And that's how the Rambam and the Yad Ramah understands. But there is another Shita of the Radbaz and the Ritva. And they actually hold that there are two steps there are two stages to Yemos HaMashiach, two steps to how Yemos HaMashiach works. And I'll let you guys look inside together as well. It's a long tshuva. I'm going to just pull out a couple lines in the bold. You'll see. It starts at number 10. I'm going to jump to this part over here. If you look, three lines down from the top. It says, Ki ani kabalti mechachamim harishon. The Radbaz had a tradition from the earlier generations of the Rishonim. One of them is the Ritva talks about this. The Ritva in Rosh Hashanah, I believe. The Trei Techios Ninu. The two Techios Amesim that will exist. Chada. One is Samech Lebias Mashiach. Right when Mashiach begins, the times of Mashiach, Mashiach arrives, Le Tzadikim. Tzadikim are going to come to life at Yemos Mashiach. When? Asher Mesu Begolos. Those Tzadikim that died in exile, Visavlu Atzaros, and they had to withstand the pains. Velo Ro B'Tovosan Shayisah. They didn't say anything good about Klai, so they didn't see Beis HaMikdash. They didn't say anything positive. They had a very rough life. Kadesh Yiru B'Tova Hahi. So they could see the arrival of Mashiach. So moments before Mashiach comes, there's going to be a certain Tchias HaMesim, says the Radbaz. V'yizku Liros Beis HaMikdash B'Tikunov. They're going to see the Beis HaMikdash. U'makriven Olav Olos. They're going to bring Karbanos. That's the first Tchias, right before the arrival of Mashiach. But then there's a second one. HaTchias Shnia, the second one, Ashenis. The Sofimos Mashiach, the end of Mashiach. Mashiach is supposed to last 1,000 years, from year 6,000 to year 7,000. Samech L'Elof HaShvi, right before the completion of the 7,000th year, there's going to be a second Techiah. V'alei Makos Rabim Yoshe Admas Afer Yakit Ranu. Those who are sleeping are going to get up and rise. V'chein Kazer Ritva, he writes. If you go a little bit further down, a few lines to the bold, these two different Techiahs and Masons, Jay Shlomar the Hanoch cry these psukim with the kavaisa and similar to them. Iri benoldim achar bias haMashiach. People who were born after the arrival of Mashiach, meaning during Mos Mashiach, they were born. Uba osem shiro bias Mashiach, and those who saw it, sheyich yuchai maruchim. They're going to live a long life. In the end, however, those people who were born during Mos Mashiach, lesof yitamu tam misa. They're going to taste death. V'chein kaser Rambam Melech Mashiach Yomus v'imloch b'no achrof. Aval tzadikim shekvar tomu tam misa v'chayu b'shvil tzirkasam lo yomusu ot. What's going on here, says the Radbaz, is there are two types of people. Those who've never tasted death in their life, they never died, they were born during Mos Mashiach, they have to die. Everyone must taste death. That's a necessity as part of human nature, the way Hashem created the world. And those who already died in the past, before Mos Mashiach, when they come to life, they're going to live forever. Radbaz says he's referring to two different types of people, that Bila, Amavis Lenetach, is that those who already tasted death, they'll live forever, but those who have not yet tasted death, so they're not going to live forever, they're going to die, and perhaps come back to life at the final step of the 7,000th year. Now, I'll finish off with one final piece from the Maharal, even within the Rambam. I believe it's very plausible to say that even the Rambam, who thinks that the world will be natural and continue to be as is, even he will hold that life will exist forever, death will no longer exist. And it's not against the nature of the world. That's part of the world we live in. What does that mean? So if the Maharal writes, he's not talking about death and life and death. He's talking about other nisim that take place. The Gemara talks about how, loaves of bread will grow from the ground. And how, maybe I'll share this with you. You can see this inside. And all these nisim that are going to take place, and the Maharal says, well, how does it make sense? If you take a look at where it says this paragraph, I don't think you see my finger there, but maybe it's the cursor you could see, I don't know if that, what you could see, but that, Ulaman Damar, the one who holds that Ein Bein Olam Hazel Mos Mashiach El Shibud Malchis Bilvad, that the world will be the same, even during the times of Mashiach. Say, Lo Yiksha Mashi Amar Kan Ki Totzi Aretz Peros Kol Yom V'Yom. Don't be so bothered by the fact that we're told that in times of Mashiach that loaves of bread and fruits will just come from the ground in an unnatural way. Ki davar ze lo nikar neis, that's not called a neis. Sharei haya betchilas brias ha'olam im lo haya chet, that's what would have happened. Remember, Adam Rishon, before he sinned, the bread would come from the ground. There was no death before Adam Rishon came in and sinned. So it's still part of the natural world we live in. That's not a nace. We may not have an access to it for a couple thousand years, but when Adam was created, death did not exist. Bila ha-malves lenetzach. There were nisim, but those weren't nisim. Bread came from the ground. That's not austere to the Rambam. It's not austere to Shmuel. Things will be the same, but that's still in the realm of being the same. That's in the realm of being normal, because if it happened before Adam Rishon, that means it's part of the nature that we live in. And he goes on to quote a Gemara and Shabbos, those doing Daf Yomi saw this a couple months ago, Daf Lamed Amud Beis. We'll read this together. The underlines. He says, Yosef Rabbi Gamliel v'darsh. Rabbi Gamliel was giving a shir, and he says, Asida isha she'teled b'chol yom. In the future, women are going to have a child every single day. No 9 months of waiting. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Hara v'yoladas yachdav. Conception and birth will take place the same time, the same day. Liglaga love Osa Talmud. A certain Talmud was making fun of him. Ein chadash tachas hashemes. What does that mean? The Pasuk in Kol says there's nothing new under the sun. So how suddenly things are going to change? So he says, Amrlei, ba verecha. Let me show you, my dear Talmud. Dugmasa ba'om hazeh. It does exist in this world. Nafik ach selei tanagos. Take a look at the chickens. They're having eggs every single day. There's not a chiddush. So it's not a chiddush that women will do the same thing. And it goes on to show the same thing is true of peros, and same things are true of bread coming from the ground. There are some dugmos, some examples, some models that exist in the world. So I'll add another one. People living forever also is not a chiddush. Yes, it existed before Adam Rishon sinned. They were intended on living forever. But even after the chait, the ability to live forever also exists. And the Gemara tells us, number 12, you see in front of you, the Gemara Babasa Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph Amir Beis. Tanur Abban in the Brisa says, Shiva Kaflu Es Kol Am Kul. 7 people have spanned the entire world. Mishushelech Ra Adam. So Adam to Mishushelech, those two, covered a long period of time. Shame Ra Mishushelech. So Shame saw Mishushelech, so that extended this Misora. Yaakov Ra Es Shame. He learned in Shame Ve'ever. Amram Ra Es Yaakov. Achia Shiloni Ras Amram, and Eliyahu Ras Achia Shiloni, the dying Kaim, Eliyahu is still alive. So the Masorah people seeing each other, there are only 7 people. From Adam, Mesushelech, to Shem, to Yaakov, to Amram, to Achia Shiloni, to Eliyahu, that 7 generation, Eliyahu lived forever. And we see a concept that Eliyahu was a human being. He was a person. And yet, he was able to live forever. He's able to accomplish the feat of the Pasuk that says, the Bila Hamavis Lenetzach. So I'll finish off with a Chumas Hadeshim, which I very much adore. I've shared many, many different shirim, but I'll share it as well to finish off this shir. That the Chumas Hadeshim raised the following question. He asked, what was the status of the wife of Eliyahu Navi after he disappeared? The Pasuk tells us that Eliyahu Navi never died. He just vanished. He just, Elisha was following him, and he was telling him, you know, always watch where I'm going. Elisha turned around, there was a storm, a wind. Next thing you know, there was just a cloak on the ground. Eliyahu Navi just vanished, he disappeared. So now his wife, was his wife still married to him? Is his wife single? What's the status of the wife? There's never a death, there's never a divorce, certainly. So that's the question of the Chumash Hadeshim. Now the Chumash Hadeshim was a Rishon, it was a serious question. So he says, well, wait a second. Why am I asking this question? My Dehava Hava, that was 2,000 years ago. Who cares what happened to Eliyahu Navi's wife? She's dead. So that was for the poskim of their generation, not for me. He says, well, maybe a person could get to the level of Eliyahu Navi. That's possible. He says, Rabbi Shubin Levi in the Gemara got to such a feat. He accomplished that his body turned to a full neshama. Now, it's not an easy feat, but it's still possible for every single person to get to that level. And therefore, the Chumash Hadeshim, who was not a chassid, he was not known to learn Kabbalah to my knowledge, he was a posek, the Ramah oftentimes quotes him on the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah quotes the Chumash Hadeshim, and yet he asks this question, it's a serious question. That means, there's a certain belief the person could get to the level of Eliyahu Navi, and therefore it is not out of this world. So even for the Rambam who holds, that Ein Bein Nimos Mashiach L'Olam Hazeh El Shibud Malchus Belvad, which at first glance would sound like, so death exists now, death should exist then, but maybe not, that's not the case. Maybe that's not a contradiction to the Rambam, because it's possible even in Olam Hazeh, in this world, for a human being, such as Eliyahu Navi, such as Rabbi Shimon Levi, to live forever, to fulfill the pasuk of a Bila Mevas Lenetach. So we don't know what's going to be. We have no idea what's going to be in the times of Mashiach. But certainly we have psukim, we have rishonim to give us the inspiration that we're going to live forever. So I'll share one final story. We have a few more minutes. I'll share one final story that I heard from Rav Weinberger a few months ago. Not quite about living forever, but about Tchias HaMesim. And it was a ma'isa that I think Rav Weinberger said Rav Meir Shapiro shared when they were busy constructing one of the stages of constructing the yeshiva in Lublin. And the story goes as follows. That there was a certain fight in the town of Rav Meir Shapiro about who owned a certain kever. So he didn't know who bought it. So he did some research, went to the funeral home and looked in the records to see who bought it. And he came across something strange. Usually I imagine the way the books are, there's like lists, a date and a name and a location and a price maybe. But he found like a whole story was written in the middle of the recording there. So he shared this story during the construction of the yeshiva. And it said as follows. A number of years ago, I don't remember how much earlier, but the great Rav Shlomo Kluger, the story is about Rav Shlomo Kluger, who was earlier than Rav Meir Shapiro. So what happened was there was a young Chassan Kala got married. And shortly thereafter, after the marriage, so the Kala got very sick, and she died just a few months into the marriage. And the husband was, of course, devastated. And he went to go see his Rav for some chizik, what to do. So the Rav was trying to give him some chizik, and the Rav said to him that, okay, sometimes you need to be able to move on and find another wife and get married. And he said, the problem is, when my wife was sick, she made me swear that I would never get married again. So I'm bound by the shvuah. So I lost my wife, I'm stuck by myself for the rest of my life. So the Rav says, that's a very, very tough kasha. I don't have it's a way above my pay grade. Why don't you go seek guidance from the great Rav Shlomo Kluger? So the individual went to Rav Shlomo Kluger and told him the ma'isa. He said, you're not bound by that shvua. Firstly, you didn't take it seriously because you only did it to make her happy. She was sick. Number two is you have a mitzvah midiraisa to have children, puravu, and you can't make a shvua against the mitzvah in the Torah. So the shvua, you're not bound by it. I give you a bracha, you should find a kala very soon and get married. So, shortly thereafter, he finds a new wife and gets married. And then, a few months after that second wedding, this time the husband dies. And everyone in the city thought, wow, the Rav Shlomo Kluger made a big mistake here. He certainly a siman from Shemayim that he should not have allowed him to get married. Now he's dead. So no one wanted to tell Rav Shlomo Kluger, you know, his mistake. But someone had to let him know that this guy in the town over died. So someone told Rav Shlomo Kluger that the man died. So Kluger gave the following instructions. He said, at first I want you to have tell the Tara, the Chever Kadisha, to do the Tara. Dig a kever. Place the body in the ground, but don't cover it up yet. When you place the body in the ground, come and tell me. So that day they started digging up a grave for him. They did the Tara, they placed the body inside. And they reported back to Rav Shlomo Kluger, okay, we're up to that stage now. The body's in the ground, but not buried. So Rav Kluger takes out a piece of paper and pen, and he writes the following, L'chavod bezdin shel mala. He says, I was gozer down here that this guy could get married, and I decree that you bring him back to life. He folds a piece of paper and hands it to the shliach and says, place this in the hands of the nifter. So the messenger goes into the grave and closes it in the hands of the nifter. And the Rav Shlomo Kluger says, make sure no one's in the cemetery the whole night. Make sure there's a guard watching outside so no one comes in. And says everything was set up perfectly. And in the middle of the night, the guard hears some rustling around inside the cemetery. And he turns around and sees that nifter walking out of the cemetery. And he freaks out and runs. The nifter now goes home to his wife, who was just sitting shiva for him, and she freaks out because her dead husband's now alive, the zombie's walking around. So she goes then to the base medrash, and everyone in the base medrash starts running because they see the zombie, the dead man, walking. And someone told Rav Kluger, your guy's alive. He came back to life. So he said, okay, send him to me. So the guy comes, the dead guy who's now alive, comes back, comes to Rav Kluger, and he says, I don't want to be alive. My wife is scared of me. My friends are scared of me. I want to die again. And he says, not to worry. He made another gzera that everyone's going to forget this story. I'm gozer in Shemayim. He says, let everyone forget this story except for the person who's in charge of the funeral home. I want him to write this story down so that someone will read this story in the future and know that there's a God in this world. And so, everyone forgot the Maisa, and whoever was in charge of the Kever wrote the story down, and Rameir Shapiro discovered the story and shared that with him, just to show that there's a God in this world. So there are a lot of things that we don't see, we don't recognize, that life will, you know, death will no longer exist and will live forever. All the nisim of bread coming out from the ground and women giving birth every single day. And although we don't see it regularly, these are not nisim. These are how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So we don't know exactly what's going to take place in Yimos Mashiach, but certainly we're excited about this, and yes, we're very discouraged and disappointed that Mashiach didn't yet come, but he's going to come soon. And we have to have that emunah, the bitachon, it's going to happen. And Mirtz Hashem, we should daven that it comes soon. We should be zoch to see the coming of the Bayis Shlishi, whether it comes from Shemayim, like Rashi, whether it's like the Rambam that we're going to build it, or like the Tiferes Yisrael, that the Goyim are going to build it for us. But we should be zoch to see that day soon, with the Gula Shema Ba'amitas, B'mher V'yameinu, Amen V'yameinu.